our Mishnah says that a priest who has anointing oil is the one who brings the bull, but not a priest who is a high priest just because he wore the extra garments. So then the Gemara had said, but if you look at the end of the Mishnah, the end of the Mishnah is like Rabbi Meir, because the end of the Mishnah says that if a Kohen Gadol was removed from his position and then somebody else took the place and then he comes back, so that person who's now bumped out still has the status of Kohen Gadol. That's the view of Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara answered, okay, not such a problem. It could be Amar Rav Chisda, Reish Rabbanan v'Seif Rabbi Meir. That's what we had gotten up to. So it could be the beginning is the Rabbanan and the end is Rabbi Meir. Rav Yosef Amar, this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. 15 lines down on the top of Yud Beis on the Beis. Rav Yosef, I'll give you another answer. Rebbe, the Mishnayos were put together by Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. And Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, he didn't necessarily have to follow the view of Rabbi Meir on all issues. So maybe he agrees with Rabbi Meir in regards to the question of Par He'alam Davar Shel Tzibur, and disagrees with Rabbi Meir in regards to the question of Kohen Sha'abar. So he can choose who he's following. So his position was to take things according to different Tanayim. That was answer number two. And now answer number three. Rava Amar, Rava says a third answer. Rabbi Shimon, maybe the Mishnah is a third Tana. It's not Rabbi Meir. It's not someone like Rabbi Meir, someone against Rabbi Meir, nor is it Rabbi, not necessarily Rabbi, it's just straight the view of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Meir that a Kohen Gadol during the Second Temple, namely because of the added garments, does not bring a bull. Upali Galei B'chadi disagrees on another point. He holds that a Kohen Gadol who was dropped from his position because the other one came back still has the status of Kohen Gadol, and like Rabbi Meir, who holds he doesn't have the status of Kohen Gadol. The Tanya went in a Braisa. Where are we? In which page is it in the Koran? 503. Okay, we learned in a Braisa. Dvarim Shebein Kohen Gadol Kohen Hedyot. Here's a list of differences between a Kohen Gadol and a regular Kohen. Eluhim, here are the differences. Number one. Parabal kala mitzvos. A regular Kohen who does a sin by mistake brings a female sheep or a female goat. A Kohen Gadol, though, who gives himself a ruling and then follows the ruling, he has to bring a bull as his chatas. Difference number two, par yom kippurim. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol brings a special bull. Every other Kohen doesn't. Difference number three, every day the Kohen Gadol brings the minchas chavitin, the 12 loaves as a mincha, made out of asiris ha'efa, tenth of an efa. All right, now, big differences between Kohen Gadol and a regular Kohen is in the beginning of Parshas Amor, about mourning. If somebody suffers the loss of a relative, as we have in this week's Parsha, so he becomes an Onain until the burial. Once there's a burial, he enters into Shiva. The Torah says in Parshas Amor that the Kohen Gadol is never to be a mourner. So that means if he suffers a loss of a relative, he doesn't card his garments. He does not become an Onin. He does not become an Avel. So therefore, Kohen Gadol lo porea. He does not grow his hair wild. He keeps getting haircuts, even when he lost a relative. The lo poreim, nor does he cut his garment when he loses a relative. However, says the Braisa, what a Kohen Gadol could do, whereas a Kohen Hedyot does, Avel hu poreim ilamata. A Kohen Gadol can tear the garment underneath the normal spot. A Hedyot, a regular Kohen, he tears the garment when he loses a relative milmala up on top in the normal spot. Another difference, Ein v'tamei the Kroven. A Kohen Gadol cannot go to the funeral of his relative and become tamei to the relative to help in their burial. A Kohen Hedyot can. Another difference, in Muzra la Basula, Kohen Gadol has to marry a virgin. Another difference, Vasar Balmana, Kohen Gadol's not allowed to marry a widow. A regular Kohen can. Another difference, Umazru Sarotseach, when the Kohen Gadol dies, the murderer who killed by mistake, who had to run to a city of refuge, as we learned about in Masechet Makos, is allowed to go back to his family. Regular Kohen who dies does not free the inadvertent murderer. And another difference, Umakriv Onein. When a Kohen Gadol loses a relative, when he's an Onein, he still can offer offerings. Whereas a Kohen Hed, you cannot. Ve'eino Ochel. However, when he's an Onein, while the Kohen Gadol can offer offerings, he's not entitled to eat Karbanos. That's what we had in this week's parsha, that Moshe Rabbeinu gets upset. Ve'asayir Hatas, Tarosh Tarash Moshe, V'inei Soraf. That Aaron, when he had lost Nadav and Avihu, did not eat from the carbon of Rosh Chodesh. He burned it because he's not allowed to eat when he's an Onin. Ve'eino cholik. And a Kohen Gadol who's an Onin, who lost a relative and the relative hasn't been buried yet, the Kohen Gadol cannot take a portion of a carbon. Now, differences further between a Kohen Gadol and a regular Kohen. Makrif chelik barosh. A regular Kohen only has a certain time when he can do the service. He's part of a Mishmar. The Mishmar is only drafted twice a year, each time for a week. And then within that week, he has his day, when his Beis Av, when his family is the one doing the service. But a Kohen Gadol can walk in every day to the Beis HaMikdash and say, okay, I want to be involved in this carbon. He just moves himself in. Whenever karbanos are being cut, you know, pieces, let's say, of a chatas are being handed out for Kohanim to eat, the Kohen Gadol can take whatever portion he wants. Another difference, Mishamesh B'Shmona B'Kelim, he uses 8 garments when he does the service. Another difference, he has to do all the service of Yom Kippur. Another difference, U'Patra Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav, if he walks into the temple while impure, being unaware, he does not have to bring the sliding scale carbon, as we learned a couple of days ago. V'Kulan, now all these differences between a Kohen Gadol and a regular Kohen, Noagin B'Meruba B'Gadzin, they apply to the Kohen Gadols of the Second Temple who did not have the anointing oil, who became Kohanim Gadolim just by virtue of wearing the added garments. Chutz mipar bal kalamitzvus, except for the bull being brought as a chatas for issuing a wrong ruling and following it. That does not apply during the Second Temple with the Kohanim Gadolim. The Kulan and all these laws, Nogim b'Mashiach Sha'avar, apply also to a Kohen Gadol who's no longer Kohen Gadol. He had been Kohen Gadol, but then the original Kohen Gadol came back. He has all these laws too. The only difference that he doesn't have is Chutz Mipar Yom Kippur. He doesn't bring the bull of Yom Kippur, Vasir Seif, and the Minchas Chavitin every day, because only one Kohen Gadol can do that. The Kulam, but all these laws, Ein Nagin B'Meshuach Melchama. They do not apply to the man who's anointed by the anointing oil, who is sort of the number two Kohen. He's called the Meshuach Melchama, the anointed man for war, who has a job to inspire the Jews before they go to war, not to be afraid, to give them a speech, a pep talk. There are 5 things that are explicitly in the parsha that do apply to the Meshuach Melchama. When he loses a relative, lo porea, he also does not grow his hair long. He keeps getting a haircut, lo poreim, because he had the heavenly oil on him. He does not cut his garment, ve'enim etam lekrov, he doesn't become tabi to a relative. Umuzer ala basula, he's mandated to marry a virgin, v'aser ba'almanan, he's not allowed to marry a widow. And finally, a mazur sarotzeach, when he dies, the murderer in the ear miklat can go free. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, these are the views of Rabbi Yehuda. The chacham and the chacham say, eno mazur, it doesn't bring the murderer to go free. So you have in this price, so you have somebody in this price, so the Tanakama of this price, who says, Kohen Sha'avar continues to serve as, continues to have all the status of Kohen Gadol. But he does not have the ability to bring a pot. But a merubah begadim, Kohen Gadol, because of added garments, does not bring a parabol kalamitzvah. So that's like our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, "Haimi my Reb Shimon." How do you know that's Reb Shimon who's saying that? But you said that our Mishnah is Reb Shimon. Amrav Papa. Reb Papa answered, "Man shamalei damar patur al tumas mikdash v'kadasha." Who's the one who says that if a Kohen Gadol enters the temple while impure, he's still exempt, he doesn't have to bring a carbon all over Yorid. That's Reb Shimon. So therefore, it's Reb Shimon in this Braisa. All right, now going to the end of the Braisa. The Braisa talks about Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Mashuach Melchama. Says the Gemara, we said in the Braisa that all the things that are about a Kohen Gadol do not apply to a Kohen Mashuach Melchama, chutz michamisha dvar mamur b'parsha, except for 5 things that are mentioned explicitly that apply to a Kohen Gadol and to a Kohen who is anointed for pep talks for war. How do we know this? That this applies to a Kohen who is Mashuach Melchama. The Torah says, V'akohen agadol me'achav, the kohen who is the greatest one of his brothers. Ze kohen gadol, that's for the kohen gadol. Then it says asher yitzak al rosho, shemen hamishcha, who had been poured on his head, the anointing oil. So why add it? So ze mashuach molchama, to say that this applies even to the kohen who's anointed for war. Then it goes on to add in other words, umilias yad alil boshes b'gadim, and he'll fill his hands to wear the garments. That tells you that a kohen gadol, because he wore the added garments, also has these laws. Al kol ha'omer, about all of them, it says rosho lo yifra, he cannot make his hair grow wild, he has to keep getting haircuts. Uvegadav lo yifrom, he can't cut his garments. Al kol nafsho smeis lo yavon, he can't go to any dead bodies. Ask the Gemara, yachol yuhu kula makrivin onanin. So maybe all three of them, even the one, the Mashuach Melchama and the Merubah Begadim, can bring their karbanos when they are onanim. Tamaloma, that's what the pasuk says. Ki nezer shem mishchas elokav alav, for the crown of the oil of anointing of his God is on him, alav on him, lo al chaveiro, but not on his friend. One second. Once the pasuk is saying that the Mashuach Melchama, the Kohen anointed for war, cannot bring an offering when he's an onain. So yachol, lo yehei mitzuval psulas. Maybe he's different and he doesn't have the obligation to marry a virgin. Tamaloma, that's what the pasuk says about marrying a virgin. Vihu, and he, isha mitzuval yikach, should marry a woman who's a virgin. That's to include him, including others, including the Mashuach Molchama. The truth is that this question of how do you interpret vihu, whether it includes a Mashuach Molchama to the obligation to marry a virgin, is kitanoi zemachlokes amongst tanoim. The verse says, vihu, and he, isha b'vsula yukach, a woman and her virginity shall marry. So why do you have a vihu, and he, the extra vav is to include something? It's like this, because acha shechalak ha-kasuv, once the Torah says that the Mashuach Molchama does not have the law that he can bring karbanos as an onain, so ribas, and that has to include him in regards to marrying a virgin. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, that's the Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, which is what we were saying. Rabbi Akiva says no. Ein li ela shavar machmas kiryo. I would think that a kohen gadol who's been bumped out of the position still has the status of kohen gadol and has to marry a virgin. If he was bumped out because of a temporary blemish, he had a discharge of semen, so he couldn't serve as kohen gadol. But that's going to pass. You know, he's going to go to the mikvah bitar. He'll be able to come back. But machmas mumin, but if a kohen gadol had to be removed from his position, because let's say he had to have his leg amputated, so he was a baal mum, he can never serve as a kohen gadol again. I mean, how do we know that he also is still obligated to only marry a virgin? Tamalom, that's where you have the addition of vihu, and he. So vihu is not to include Mashuach Molchama. According to this, vihu is to include kohen gadol who has a lasting blemish. Boy, I mean, hey, Rav Amir of Nachman. Rav asked the question of Rav Nachman. What about Baruch's question, Mashiach shenitztara, a kohen gadol gets tzaras, ma'u ba'almana, is he now allowed to marry a widow? Or maybe he's still a kohen gadol, he can't marry a widow. So basically the question is like this, midchadachi, what happens when he gets tzaras? Is he now totally pushed off from serving as kohen gadol? Or Mifter Potter, maybe there's a suspension of him being kohen gadol, but, in other words, what's that?
Same book.
Very good, right? So, is he, you know, totally pushed off from marrying a widow? He can't go back to being marrying a widow, or he had just been taken away from a widow, and now that he can't be a kohen gadol anymore, maybe now he can go back to a widow. So, he didn't have an answer. But then, Zimnin, one time, Rav Yosef Rav Papa, Rav Papa was sitting in the base medrash, they had this question. Amalei, Huna, Brady Rav Nachman, Rav Papa. So Huna, the son of Rav Nachman, said to Rav Papa what Roger just said. Tidina within Dina Braisa, Ainli, Ella, Shafar Machmas Kiryo. I would think that which is a Kohen Gadol who still has the status of Kohen Gadol, even though he's not doing the service and he can't marry a widow, as if he was removed from the position just because of a discharge. But Avar Machmas Mumin Minayin, how do we know that even if he was removed from the position, from a permanent blemish, he still has to marry a virgin, Tamalomer Vihu, that's what it says, the extra vav of Vihu. So that applies also to a blemish of Tzaras, Vihu, he should still be included. So Kamra Papa got up, Nashke Bereshe, he kissed the head of Huna Bar Nasan, Yoev Le Brate, and he gave him his daughter to marry. What a great Dvar Torah. Gave him a daughter. Wow, to marry the daughter of a Talmud Chacham is a great privilege. Says the Mishnah, Kohen Gadol Poreis Milmata. When a Kohen Gadol Porim, when he tears his garments for mourning, he can tear it underneath, he just can't tear on the collar. Hayadjot Milmala, a regular Kohen tears on the top, on the collar. Kohen Gadol Makriv Onin Velo Ochel. Kohen Gadol brings the karbanos, even though he just lost a relative, as we have in this week's parsha, he just can't eat from them. Hayadjot Lo Makriv Velo Ochel. And a regular Kohen, when he's an Onin, doesn't bring the karbanos, nor can he eat. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav. Rav said, this we learned in the Mishnah, that a Kohen Gadol tears his garments underneath. Lamata, what does it mean underneath? Lamata mamash, all the way on the bottom of the garment, by the hem. Lamala, when we said a regular Kohen tears his garments on top, Lamala mamash, all the way on the top, by the collar. Shmuel, Amar Shmuel said, no, Lamata means Lamata mikami safa. Underneath means underneath the collar. Right? They used to wear these robes, like a one-piece robe, and then there'd be a collar on the top. So underneath is underneath the collar. And lamala, when we say a normal tearing for a relative is on top, it means lamala mikamisaf. On top means by the collar. The zeb zeb tzavar, both of them are actually quite close to the neck. Not all the way on the bottom. Meisve, they challenged Shmuel when we learned in a braisa. I'll call him meisim kula, and ratza mavil kamisaf shalo. Ratza ina mavil kamisaf shalo. Normally, when you lose a relative, if you want to tear the top collar, you're allowed to do that. If you don't want to, you don't have to. But I love Valimo, but when it's for the father or mother, Mavdil, you have to tear the top collar. Now, Kevin de Baalma, so since we're saying, in regards to most people, tearing underneath the collar, Havi Kara is considered a tear. So Krikan, so we should read here, Bigadav Lo Yifron. How could the Kohen Gadol, according to Shmuel, tear underneath the collar? If for other relatives it is a tear, so he's violating the mandate. He's not supposed to tear his garments. Mm-hmm. And so the Gemara, Shmuel could be Yehuda Svirle. Shmuel holds a could be Yehuda. Damar holds Kol Keresh, Yenom Avdil, B'Safa Shalom, that if you don't tear the collar, Eino Elo Keresh Al Tiflis, that's the nothing. It's just the low, it's just the tear, but it's not a tear of mourning. So since the Kohen Gadol can't have the tear of mourning, he is allowed to tear underneath the collar, because that's not a tear of mourning.
Do we tear by the collar or by the heart?
We tear by the heart.
No.
That's for a father and mother. It has to be by the heart. For other relatives on the other side.
Oh, that's
I think we learned that in Moed Katan. Umi Yisle the Rebbe Yehuda Kriya B'Kohen Gadol. Now, does Rebbe Yehuda hold that there is some type of tearing that the Kohen Gadol can do? For a time, we lived in a Braisa. Ilu Nema Rosh Lo Yifrov, Gadol Lo Yifrom. If it would have said head should not grow wild, garment should not be torn, Ayisiyom would have thought to say, Beroshi veget shol sota kasamidava. The verse is talking about the head or the garment of a sota, that the Kohen Gadol doesn't undo her hair. The Kohen Gadol doesn't tear her garments, but his own hair, to tear his own garments, he's allowed to. Tamalom, that's what the pasuk says, Esro sholo yifra. He can't make his hair grow wild. Uv gadav lo yifrom. He cannot tear his garments. He does not have the concept at all. Rabbi Shmuel says, he can't tear the way other people tear. He can tear on the bottom. A regular person tears on top. So, 1 second. So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Kohen Gadol doesn't tear at all. So, how do you say that we're going with Rabbi Yehuda? So, where it says, Shmuel agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that a tear underneath the collar is not a tear. Paligalei Bechadi disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda about what a Kohen Gadol actually does. He holds that a Kohen Gadol does do this tear, which is not considered a tear. Mishnah, next Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Kol Atadim Yechaver, when you have two karbanos to be brought, whatever is more regular, Kodem Eschaver comes first. Kol Makudosh Mechaver, whatever is holier than its friend, also Kodem Eschaver comes first. Therefore, if you have a choice, two karbanos to bring, Par Mashiach, a par of the Kohen Gadol, Uparo Eidah, and the par of the Sanhedrin for the community. So then, Omdim par Mashiach, Kodom lepar Eidah b'chol Maisa. We bring the par of the Kohen Gadol before the par of the nation. Hidani Mili, how do we know this? That the more regular comes first. Amar Abaya, Abaya says, Amar Karkas, the Pasuk says, in regards to Karbanos Pesach, you bring the Karban Pesach, Milvado lasa boker, Asher lo lasa tamid, besides the morning offering, which was the regular offering. So why do you have to say that? He said, besides the morning offering. Why do you have to say which was part of the Tamid offering? So this is what Hashem is telling you. Besides the morning offering was first, and why was it first? Because it's Olas Tamid, because it's more regular. And some you called it tira, whatever is more regular, kadma comes first. Second rule, kalam akudosh mechaver or kodem eschaver, whatever is holier comes first. How do we know that? The Tanit Beri Bishmael, we learned in a brisa from Bishmael, it says about a kohen, v'kidashto, you have to make the kohen holy, you have to make him special. L'chol davar shebekdush, in all matters of holiness, the kohen comes first. L'ftoach rishon, he gets the first aliyah. L'varech rishon, you have to offer him to lead the zimun. L'litol mana yafer rishon, you have to, when you give out things, you have to offer the kohen to take the first piece. Now we learned in our Mishnah, Par Kohen Mashiach, the bull of the Kohen Gadol, Upar Eida, and the bull of the nation. So the Kohen Gadol's bull comes first. We know that the Kohen Gadol's bull comes first. The Tanna Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa, it says about the bull of the nation, the Saraf also, burn it, Kasher Saraf is a Par Rishon, the way you burn the earlier Par mentioned in Parshas Vayikra, which is the Par of the Kohen Gadol. So Matam Alomar HaRishon, why does it say the first one? Let's say this should be the first one. This is the first one. The power of the Kohen Gadol is before the power of the nation and all of its services. Let's say the case of our Mishnah. You have a bull of a Kohen Gadol that needs to be offered. And you have a bull of the nation that needs to be offered. So the bull of the Kohen Gadol is offered in all of its ways before the bull of the nation. And I'll tell you why. The Kohen Gadol is holier, and holier comes first. Hol Mashiach Mechaper, the Kohen Gadol, he atones for the nation. The Eida Miskaperes, the nation gets atonement. So Dimushiyakhtama Machaper Lemiskaper, certainly the one who creates the atonement is holier than the one who gains the atonement. So he should come first. That's what the verse says. V'chiper ba'ado v'ad beso, on Yom Kippur, he will atone for himself, then for his family, and then uva'ad kol kal yisrael, then for the entire nation. Par helam davar shel tzibur. Now, the bull of the nation. When the nation made a mistaken ruling and they followed and they ate, let's say, the forbidden fats, kodom lepar shel avodas kolchavim. If the Sanhedrin made a mistaken ruling about avodah zarah and the people followed, then instead of bringing just one animal, you bring two animals, a par and a sa'ir. You bring the par as an ola, the sa'ir as the chatas. So the par of chatas for the nation eating forbidden fats comes before the par of Olav, the nation doing Avodah Zarah by mistake because of mistaken ruling. My time, oh, why? Because high chatas. The par of Helam Davar is a chatas. V'hai Olav. Whereas the par of Avodah Zarah is just an Olav. V'tanya, we learned in a braisa in regards to the karbanos. Let's say you're bringing two birds, one an Olav and one a chatas. The verse says, V'ikrivis asher l'chatas rishonai. He should bring that one, which is the chatas, first before the ola. So, not time alone. Why the Torah have to say it? Im lelamit shetei chatas rishona, harei kvar nemar v'sasheni ola kamishpat. It already says, and the second one is the ola. So then, why do you have to say that the first one is the chatas? Elazeb banaav, but it's to teach you shei kol chatos kodmos leolos habos simbay mimayim. That chatos always come before an ola, even when they come together with an ola. But kaim lan. So therefore, this is the halacha. Afilu chatas of, even if the chatas is a bird, and the ola is an animal, kodemes l'olas behema, it would be brought before the ola of an animal. So that's why if you have a par helam davar and a par of avodah zara, the par helam davar is brought before the par of avodah zara, because the par of avodah zara is only an ola, and the par helam davar is a chatas. Yeah, question.
What exactly is the difference between
ola and... So in ola, every part of the animal is burnt, and it's not eaten at all, whereas a chatat is eaten by the kohanim, and only parts of it are burned. A chatat is for a sin action, and ola is for a sinful thought. Next, par avodas kochavim. This bull, when the nation had followed a wrong ruling about avodas zara, kodem l'sayir avodas kochavim. That's brought before the goat when the nation followed Avodah Zarah. Whoa, that's just against what we said. Am I? Hi, chatas. Hi, ola. The goat is a chatas. The bull is an ola. We just said that the chatas always comes first. Even a chatas bird would come before an ola animal. Ami b'ma'a rava mishmei the rava bar mari. They answered in Eretz Yisrael in the name of Rava, the son of Mari. Chatas avodas kochavim. By this chatas of Avodah Zarah, this goat, chaseira aleph, it's written without an aleph. It says, u'si'ir izim echad lichatas, without the aleph between the tes and the taf, ksiv. So the Aleph being left out means it's a less important Chatas. Normally a Chatas is before an Ola, but this Chatas not. Rava, my Rava said, it says about this Ola, Kamishpat Ksivbe, as its law. So that means that the Ola has to be brought the way it's listed in the Torah before the Chatas. So it's a special Pasuk. But normally a Chatas is brought before an Ola. Next question of order. Sayer Avodas Kochavim, the goats of the nation when they committed the sin of Avodah Zarah by mistake. Kodum L'Sayer Shel Nasi, that would be brought before the goat of the sin offering of a king. My time or why? Hai Tzibor, because one is the nations. Hai Yachid, one is only an individual. Sayer Nasi, the goat of the king who does a sin by mistake. Kodum L'Seiras Yachid, is before a female goat of an individual who does a sin by mistake. My time or why? Because Hai Melech, one is a king, he's holier. Hai Hedjan, one is just a simple person. Seiras Yachid, the female goat of an individual. Kodemes Lekivsas Yachid, is before the female sheep of an individual. Vatanya, but we learned in Hebrew the opposite. Kivsas Yachid, Kodemes Seiras Yachid, the female sheep that's brought as a chatas, is before the female goat brought as a chatas. Now it's up to the person. He can bring a female goat or a female sheep, it's up to him. Amar Abaye, Abaye answered Tanayi, it's a machlokas of the Tanayim. Mar Savar Seira Adifa, one feels that a female goat is better, Shekenis Rapsa, it's Avodas Kocham Biyachid, because any time a person does Avodah Zarah by mistake, he has to bring a female goat. Mar Savar Kivsa Adifa, one thought that a female sheep is best, Shekenis Rapsa Baalya, because the female sheep, the tail of it is also brought on the Mizbeach. Omer Kodem Lekeves Abaimo, the Karban Omer comes before the sheep that's with it. Shtei Alechem, and on Shavuos, the two loaves of bread, Kodman Akvasim Arbaim Mimayim, they come before the sheep that are brought with them. Zaklal, this is the rule. Davar Abba Begin Liyom, what's coming because of the day, like the Omer. Kodman Ledavar Abba Begin Lechem comes before that which is coming because of the bread. So the sheep of the Omer is because of the Omer, and the sheep of the Shtei Alechem are because of the Shtei Alechem, and that's why the Omer and the Shtei Alechem come before the sheep that they bring with them. All right, so this Mishnah is not a very politically correct Mishnah, but it is the Halacha. We're talking about which Karban gets brought first when you have an option. So which person gets saved first when two people are drowning? So the Mishnah says, "Ha'ish kodem li'isha la'achayos." First, you save a man before saving a woman. The same is true la'hashev aveda. The same is true in return of returning a lost object. First to the man, and then to the woman. Ha'isha lo kodemes li'ish l'ksus. If a man and a woman are both too poor, they don't have clothing, and they're asking for clothing, first you give money for the woman to be clothed before a man, because it's more embarrassing for her than for the man. Let's say there's a man and a woman in captivity. First you ransom the woman before you ransom the man, because the woman is in danger of being violated, whereas a man is not. However, let's say the captors are also homosexual. So Bisman Shishneim Omdim Bekalkala. So then both the man and the woman are in danger of being raped. Then Aish Kodam Leisha. Then you have to save the man before you save the woman, because a rape of a man is much worse than a rape of a woman. Tana Rabbanu Litin Abraisa. Hayahu Vavav Rabbah Bishvi. Let's say a person himself and his father and his teacher are in captivity. So who gets saved first? So who kodem l'rabbo? First he should save himself. Then, if he still has money, rabbo kodem love him. He should save his teacher before he saves his father. And then he should save his father. Now if his mother is also there, imo kodem l'kulam, he has to save his mother before anybody else, because she is in danger of being raped and being violated. Let's say there's a king and a Torah scholar in captivity. Chacham kodem lemelech Yisrael. The Torah scholar has to be saved before we save the king of the Jews. Why? Because chacham shemeis ein lanu kiyotzebo. If a Torah scholar dies, it's very difficult to replace. Melech Yisrael shemeis, if the king would unfortunately die in the captivity, okay, kol Yisrael ruin lemalchus. Any Jew could become king. Any Jew can be appointed. What happens when you have a king and a high priest in captivity? Melech kodem lekohen gadol. First you save the king before you save the high priest. Shenamar, because it says in regards to the kings, Vayomer HaMelech Lahem, the king David said to Tzadok, who was the Kohen Gadol, Chui Machem, take with you Es Avodai, Es Avdei Adonaichem, the slaves of your master. So he calls himself a master over the Kohen Gadol. So that means that he's the master. He should be saved first before the Kohen Gadol. What happens when you have a Kohen Gadol and a prophet in captivity? Kohen Gadol, kodom l'navi. First, you'd save the Kohen Gadol before the prophet. Shenamas, it says, U'mashach oso sham tzadok ha-kohen, v'nasan ha-navi. That when it came to the anointing of Shlomo, tzadok ha-kohen and nasan the prophet would anoint him. Iktim tzadok l'nasan. First tzadok before nasan. V'om, we have another pasuk. Shmano Yoshua kohen ha-gadol. Listen up, Yoshua the high priest. Atavere echa. You and your friends. Who are your friends? Your friends are the prophets. Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. So you see the Kohen Gadol comes first. Now Yachol, now maybe that there had Yotos Hayu, that there Yoshua Kohen Gadol was in front of Hanani, Mishael, and he was in front of regular people. No, Tamlomo, the Pasuk goes on to say, he was him before the prophets, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. Describes him as Ki Anshei Mofes Hema. These are people of wonders. A mofes el navi, a mofes, a wonder, is a prophet who does wonders. And as it says, ki akum bekirbucha navi ocholim chalom v'nasan elecha os o mofes, that there'll be a prophet and he'll do a sign or a wonder. Now, again, two Kohanim in captivity. One is Mashuach b'shemen ha-mishcha. One was anointed with the anointing oil, and the other is a Kohen Gadol because he wore the eight garments. So he comes before, kodem l'merubim gadim. He's saved before the one who was anointed, who wears the eight garments. Rub Begadim, though, a Kohen Gadol who's currently serving as Kohen Gadol, but he was never anointed. But he's actually serving Kodom Mashiach Sha'avar. He's saved before the Kohen Gadol who was bumped from his position of serving. And even if the bumping out is only temporary, Machmas Kiryo, because of a discharge. Mashiach Sha'avar, Machmas Kiryo, if you have two Kohanim Gadol and both are former Kohanim Gadol, and one because he has a discharge, and the other, because he has an amputation, he's got a blemish. So the one who has a discharge is saved before, before the one who is because a foot has been cut off, because he has a blemish. Because he's only temporary discharge, so he's holier. Shavar Machmas Mumo, a Kohen Gadol who's been discharged because of a permanent blemish, is saved before, Kodom Mashuach Mulchama, before the Kohen who's anointed to speak to the nation at war. Mashuach Mulchama, Kodom Liskan, is before the Kohen, who's the assistant to the Kohen Gadol, who's appointed before Yom Kippur, in case something would happen to the Kohen Gadol to take over. Liskan, and the appointed Kohen Gadol, Kodom Amrakal, is before a Kohen Gadol called the Amarkal. The Kohen called the Amarkal. My Amarkal. What's the Amarkal? Amrav Chizda Amar Kula. He's the Kohen who's in charge of all the Kohanim in the service. He's the manager. Amarkal, Kodom Legizbar. The Amarkal, the manager of the Kohanim, comes before, is saved before the Kohen in charge of the temple monies. And Gizbar, Kodom LeRosh Mishmar. The Gizbar is before the head of a Mishmar. And the Rosh Mishmar is saved before a Rosh Beis Av, the head of a family of Kohanim. Rosh Beis Av, the head of the family, is saved, Kodom LeKohen Hedger, before a regular Kohen. Iboilu, that a question in the yeshiva. Let's say you find a dead body, Linyan Tumah. So who should choose to become Tamei to bury the dead body? Skanu Mashuach Mulcham. Let's say you have someone appointed to step in for the Kohen Gadol in case the Kohen Gadol becomes disqualified in Yom Kippur, and the Kohen who is anointed to speak to the nation before war. Ezem and Kodem. Who comes first to become Tamei and to bury the dead body? Amar Zutra, Breder of Nachman, Tashma, come in here, the Tanu Lutin of Raisa. Skanu Mashuach Mulcham, Asher Machalkim Aderech, Ufago Behen Meis Mitzvah. If you have the Sagan and the Mashuach Mulchama walking in the way, and they find a dead body, then Mutav Shiitami Mashuach Mulchama Va'al Yitami Sagan. Actually, the Mashuach Mulchama, who in a certain sense is holier, he gets saved first, but still he should become Tameh first. Shim Yerabo Psul B'Kohen Gadol Nichnas Sagan Mashamish Tachtav. Because the whole purpose of the Sagan is if the Kohen Gadol will have a discharge, the Sagan will step in and do the service for him on Yom Kippur. Whereas the Mashuach Mulchama is not standing to step in for the Kohen Gadol. I've got time, we're going to rise to the opposite, that Mashuach Mulchama kodem l'skan. The Mashuach Mulchama is before the skan. I'm a Ravina. Ki tanya hilach yosef. That's in terms of keeping him alive. In terms of saving his life, first we save the life of the Mashuach Mulchama. But in terms of Tumah, they're actually the skan. We're more careful with him than we are with the Mashiach Muhammad, because the Skan might have to serve as a Kohen Gadol. Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha, may Ratzah Kodesh Baruch Hu lezakos Yisrael, l'ficha chibur en Torah mitzvah, sh'nemar tnei chafetz l'mad tzipo, yagdil t'rav yadir.
No questions.